It's all one word?
It's all one word. And in the book, Franklin and Eleanor, there's a whole chapter on it, which is very interesting. And the interesting thing was that when we finally got the building built and we're dedicating it, Eleanor came back to the church. The only sermon she ever preached in her life, the only time she spoke at a church, I believe. No, it really wasn't the only time she spoke at a church. But it was the only time she had considered what in the slot normally is considered a sermon slot that she made her speech. She was very gracious. Very, very well received. And it was great. We left to go back to Florida and the parish within a month after that. Mm-hmm. Exactly a month after that. Mm-hmm. We lost we won the presidential election. We had lost the primary because we had campaigned for Humphreys in the West Virginia primary, which was very crucial. Mm-hmm. Kennedy lost, and then we won the election, and our county went Democrat for the first time on the day that we left. Gosh, first time in years.
What a send-off.
We stopped by the Duke County Sheriff's office. He was also the county Democratic chair on our way out of town.
Mm-hmm. Well, you must have done a good job.
We did it together, the people in the community. We had a good, deep, close relationship. Our daughter's a member of that church.
Hmm. What, as you think about the style that developed with the National Farm Worker Ministry and the very close relationship with the union, so on, if you were trying to use that model for something else, for some other, relating to some other poor people's movement, what might you do differently?
I wouldn't do anything differently because I felt it was different, needed to be different from the way the United Farm Workers and National Farm Worker Ministry did. I would only do differently from what the requirements of that particular situation at that particular time. I would try. I would make an attempt, whenever or wherever I was, that where I could ally the church with a change movement together. I think that the church yoked together with the community change movement was much better than during the times that the federal government was yoked with change movements during the war on poverty. Including such great things as rural legal services, which were a tremendous service and which we had a very close relationship in Florida all through the whole time, and which in many ways the migrant ministry helped found in Florida, at least helped was significant in putting together the rural legal services, that the church is a much better partner in community change than other institutions. In fact, I don't know any other institutions as national institutions that can work in alliance with people. There are others who do, of course. In the South, there have been civil rights, national civil rights organizations that have worked closely with people in community change, and it's been effective. Most of those civil rights organizations, however, were a parallel to the National Farm Worker Ministry because indeed the civil rights organization were black church ministries as alliance to people's change, almost to an institution. The different ones that really affected change were black church. Epitome of it, and I thought it was real fitting that when the first Martin Luther King Award was given, to Caesar here in Atlanta, to show that close relationship.
That was the first one?
Yes. Mm. So that, in a way, we really were already experiencing the close relationship of the church to change in the South my work with in religion and race was closely related to it because I was trying to allow people. The Florida Council on Human Relations had been established by church people who could not affect change in the late 30s and early 40s, 50s and 60s as an institutional church, but they were people who had joined because of their convictions, their church-related convictions, and most of them were church-oriented people. It had been black mandate by 100 black leaders in the South in the late 30s of things that needed to be changed in the United States, and the response to that was a large number of church people and a few others that associated together in the Southern Regional Council, and they established the Councils on Human Relations by and large, using in community after community. It was the leading pastor who was interested in change in his community that was active in the Council on Human Relations, so that it was an allied movement, church-related movement.
I didn't know that.
But the churches couldn't do it. They couldn't. There was no way to get dioceses or presbyteries or judicatories in the South to support change. It just wasn't in the cards for them to yoke together to make those changes. It just was beyond political reality.
So that they could work ecumenically in a secular table.
Uh-huh. It was at a secular table, although they came with their religious convictions. People came with their religious convictions, which were related to justice. Peace.
There have been people in the Union who have felt that with all of the tremendous help that the National Farm Worker Ministry was in channeling church support to the movement, which most agree was really critical to the success of the Union, they still have some reservations that they feel that the NFWM became too closely identified with the Union and lost a very useful role, useful to some within the Union, of a separateness. Do you, from your point of view, do you feel like there's, how would you respond to that?
I feel like it's a very legitimate remark, but it can only be seen after the fact, and it could not have been foretold before the fact, and that the National Farm Worker Ministry could not indeed have done what it did during the time that it was most essential to do it without having that closer and closer binding of identities. Almost a biblical imperative that you lose your life to save it, and you lose your identity as a separate movement if you're not a separate movement. And I don't think the loss was as big as one might project, nor do I think that the contribution would be nearly as strong if it hadn't had that close alliance. I felt that in Florida, our alliance had to be very closely identified with one another. I think it had to be clear that those things we were responding to were decisions of the United Farm Workers, not decisions of the Florida Farm Worker, National Farm Worker Ministry, or prior to that, the Florida Migrant Ministry. That it had to be clear that we were responding to needs of farm workers in their organization rather than what we saw as the needs of farm workers. And so I think when you respond that way, that you're the part of the reality of servanthood is that either the servant dies or the servant's liberated, freed from his servanthood. But you can't be servant and not be servant. During the time you're servant.
Do you think the farm worker ministry might be released from its servanthood by dying?
Well, I think that ought to always be considered a possibility for any institution. I think many institutions, I'm not for one minute suggesting that this we're at that point.
Mm-hmm.
I think that every institution outlives its usefulness at one point or another,
mm-hmm.
or every institution within an institution outlives its importance much beyond and is kept alive simply because it has been.
Mm-hmm.
There are decent burials often needed. I participated in one, in the death of for a minor manuscript.
Mm-hmm.
The end of an institution. So that I don't have any problem, big basic problems with seeing an institution end.
Mm-hmm.
I think it needs to be transformed into something, you know, that needs to be taken into consideration and transformed so that it can be something bigger, maybe, mm-hmm. or something more important, which is what I believe was our case.
When you think of the way that the National Farm Worker Ministry as an entity developed and developed a relationship like to Florida State Migrant Ministry, how essential in that whole pattern of growth and development was the UFW's boycott?
In my opinion, both the individuals who participated in the boycott and the state of Florida and those people with us within the institutional migrant ministry were better served by having participated in it than the United Farm Workers was served by our participating.
Mm.
I think we became a better people, we became a better organization. We understood a role of people in need. And that it really, you know, I think that it served a role as a convener of people in a common bond of service. Fellow human beings.
Do you think that there's a way of continuing to have a vital constituency for the farm worker ministry to work with without the boycott?
Yeah, I think so. I think that where there is a need for ministry. And as a matter of fact, there is a need for ministry to farm workers in Florida now, even among those that aren't organized. There is need for, in fact, expansion of maybe going back through the process of service orientation and back through the process of identification with people and back through the process of finding the way to organization again, because we've had to take a backup step. Politically, we've had to take a backup step in our society and to look at where we were. The position that we held has been defeated politically in the United States. It's been defeated politically in the states. It's been defeated politically nationally.
How would you define that position that we held?
The right for self-determination of people, as opposed from a capitalist system that could determine for people. Employer-employee relationships, where the employer could determine the whole of a person's life by employment conditions. We've just reversed. We've gone backwards in understanding that people needed to participate in their own destinies. I think that the Agriculture and Labor Relations Board in California is about the best example of that of all. The political system now is not on the side of the people that are trying to self-determine what's going to happen to them. It's poor people. Poor people's food have been cut off. More people hungry now than there ever were. The private sector cannot ever really do it, and it can't be done unless the people themselves participate in that activity.
G. Jim Drake thinks that, not just with farm workers, but nationally, that we're at a time when it is not propitious for organizing workers because of the widespread poverty and this enlarging sort of underclass, compounded by the tremendous number of refugees coming into the country, both legally and illegally. Would you agree with that?
There's always time to organize, to be in participation in organization of fulfillment of needs of people. And that has to take the whole gamut of fulfillment of immediate food and other needs, as well as the needs for freedom of spirit in people so that they can determine where they're going. I agree with the time. It's not a time to be hiring and paying big-time community organizers.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe there never was a time to be paying any big salaries to community organizers to organize. But the techniques of organizing and identifying with people who are in the process of suffering is a must on the part of people. You must identify with refugees, find ways to be of service to refugees, and that takes organization. Refugees themselves must have the opportunity to do some organizing of their own life systems.
I think Jim was speaking rather narrowly of union organizing, labor organizing. He obviously feels that it's agrees with you that it's always the right time to do community organizing. But as far as using organizing techniques to organize people in labor unions, he feels like it's just I guess it's kind of a maybe a repetition of the Sisyphus story, that just so many people to take the jobs that labor organizing, he thinks, is really very difficult right now.
It's a matter. It's impossible right now. I know the whole labor movement's looking at itself from that same angle, because it knows that full well. I have a son that's in the business of labor organizing. I know how hard it is to be in the organization process. I know how hard it is to identify with needs for the automobile industry to preserve jobs, while at the same time, I mean, it's a dichotomy that we hit in life, but that we can't take both sides at once, and yet we do take both sides at once.
What do you mean?
Well, importation of automobiles and to place any trade restrictions on importation of automobiles is a very difficult thing for me. And yet I know full well that the need for some of the people in our present society has to be. Well, I'm more aware of it from the textile point of view, from the small farmer point of view, than I am from the large corporations point of view. But there has to always constantly be a process of education towards organization among employees.
To help empower them and
That's right.
give them some power with which to deal corporately with management.
However, this is nothing new in the South, my attitude. It's just been in the rest of the country that they've had the same kind of problem that we've had in the South forever.
Mm-hmm.
Because there always have been more people than there were jobs.
Mm-hmm.
And always, if a major industry came in, union members from the North came down and filled many of those jobs and let the people who lived down here not have jobs during the height of the of problems in Florida, when we were having real problems in Florida. A lot of workers that were on strike in Detroit came down and took jobs en masse on the farm scene. They were the best friends we ever had in union organizing in Florida, United Auto Workers, but they were at a point where self-interest was a meant put bread and butter on their table. Mm-hmm. They were in competition. I understand that nature of that competition. Mm-hmm. I don't believe it's ever. I think we rise and fall in the times that we can make. This is why I said there's a need for a Florida Migrant Minute, for a National Farm Worker Ministry on behalf of farm workers, even though we're not talking farm worker organizing, mm-hmm. in terms of the union and organizing United Farm Workers. Because they're human needs.
What do you see has been the impact of the United Farm Workers organizing, which has been primarily, of course, in California, on farm labor in Florida?
Well, there is no question about that every time that Coca-Cola signed a new contract with the United Farm Workers, the rest of farm workers got a benefit from it. It filtered down through into the system in Florida. It increased the picking rate. It increased the sense of identity on the part of farm workers, even though it was even though they weren't part of it. It gave a voice for farm workers, gave an opportunity for rallying of farm workers to each other's needs, gave it, the ripple effect was very strong in Florida across the whole farm worker scene. Even, and that's just with one contract. We had had another contract, but it was so small that it's not even worth it. It lasted only a year, and the company pulled out of business, went out of business, only to reappear as another company. And it was a deceptive process, the whole organizing process of the development of that contract. So we don't even count it.
What do you see Chris's role to have been in being able to put together the kind of church support that there was for the union?
I think Chris had a very unique personality that could be plain spoken, direct in his understanding of the situation, direct in his support, and yet give people an opportunity to be supportive. And that opportunity to be supportive was always fully documented. The need for it was always fully documented. Never was anybody without documentation of the needs. Fantastic ability in documentation. Probably did more for United Farm Workers than anything else we did, was the ability to document needs. Chris's ability to separate it out, speak a language that people understood, that the church understood, and to put the tremendous efforts that he put in. Lord knows, every time I ever went to California, Chris was up in the library. And that wasn't counting all the times he had been out out to where the organizing was going on or at national meetings. But he was always busy documenting the needs. And documentation, the fact sheets that you mentioned were evident, part of the evidence, but the whole background paper, all the background papers he did were so superlative theologically. I mean, his papers were used by Catholics, by everybody, and yet they were theologically sound for an ecumenical movement. There weren't very many other ecumenical movements that we have as much theological documentation for, I think.
Yeah, he
Yeah.
Denies thinking very much theologically in the usual sense.
Yeah, he didn't. It wasn't in the usual sense. It wasn't in the usual sense. But it plainly was oriented to a theological mind. And I don't know any people who took issue with him theologically among the theologians of the country. And most of them were in support. But you take seminary after seminary, he was a invited guest any place in the country. You know, most of the people that I know that taught theology were very supportive and understood what Chris was saying theologically. They understood Caesar for what he was saying theologically too. I don't think you can pick out a school of theology that Chris was predominantly in.
You've known so many people who have been involved with the farm workers here in Florida. Do you think that there have been some permanent impacts on people in the church because of their contact with the farm workers movement?
Yes. And in Florida, there is, in Florida, there is an organization called Impact. Florida Impact. Mm-hmm. Florida Impact was largely created by people that were supportive of the farm worker ministry, both Florida Migrant Ministry and then National Farm Worker Ministry. It's a very, very strong agency right now among church people in Florida. It still carries as one of its heavy responsibilities the legislative impact, the political impact of the needs of farm workers in Florida, so that it still is it's another institution which is very similar to it, but is still very loyal to a church organized. Well, it has just, I don't know how many staff members it has. It has staff over in Tallahassee, you see, Bates in Miami, working for it constantly, again, in the same method of providing documentation for needs in Florida. But it covers the whole state and all the issues in Florida. Mm-hmm. And it's strong. And I think it has been because of the farm worker ministry. It's been strong. I think it was created by, I think it would say it was.
What about the farm worker ministry would have created that?
I think that it had developed an impact among church leaders, denominational leaders, because it was the denominational leaders that created impact in Florida. It was the fact that the denominational leaders stayed in support of the farm worker ministry and saw it as a statewide ministry. And saw the need to continuation of a ministry and like ministry on a wider scale. I don't know whether any of the states have anything like it or not. We tried to do something like it in Georgia, but we weren't able to. The organization we had in Florida is still a valid and viable organization. I mean, Georgia. Mm-hmm. But it doesn't carry the same, it doesn't carry anything of the kind of support that Impact carries in Florida. But it didn't have any other history. It had its own history, too.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't have any history of there being any statewide organization
mm-hmm.
before it. As a matter of fact, the woman who worked as the director of the Georgia Council on Human Relations, developed this organization, like I shifted from Florida to the Florida Migrant Ministry.
Mm-hmm.
She and I worked very closely up here. Established Christians Against Hunger in Georgia is the name of it. But it was appealing to a completely different type of church. So this church situation in Georgia is so different from the church situation in Florida. Because Florida still tried to maintain it. Similarity between the churches across the rest of the country. The Council of Churches in Florida was always a stronger organization than mm-hmm. the Council of Churches here was.
Mm-hmm.
Here, the citywide, whatever they call it, Christian Council, Atlanta Christian Council or something like that is a very strong organization and an extremely good leader, mm-hmm. and is supportive of this group, Christians Against Hunger, which basically works for families, aid dependent children families.
Mm-hmm.
Works on those Medicaid, those sorts of needs.
Did the years of work with the United Farm Workers change you in any way?
Yeah, I guess it changed me completely. Became a different person because it gave me a horizon that I never had no concept could arise in my life. I was committed to be a small parish minister until the opportunity came. I was committed to go back to that as soon as I was freed from whatever I was doing incidentally besides that.
You're glad for that?
Yeah. I probably would have gone back and been a parish minister if I hadn't had health problems. I was glad for the time that my horizon and ability to contribute was on the level that it was. Tremendous satisfaction that I had all the opportunities to bump heads with people were on the network of Farm Worker Service.
Mm-hmm. What are some of the things it did for you personally?
Well, for 5 or 6 years, it was a immediate challenge to our family to work together. We all worked together on it. The farm worker issues, all the kids worked for the boycott. All the kids had a swing at working for the boycott or working somewhere with farm workers in their early adult years.
Mm-hmm.
And so that it gave me family satisfaction, gave me spiritual satisfaction in terms of it. It widened the meaning of the gospel for me. Made me look at the church as a different institution.
How so?
I realized that the church needed to constantly be equipped for its institutional ministry by looking at the needs of people apart from the church as an institution, apart from looking at the church, at people of society as possible. I spent most of my life in new church development. My concept was to try to find new members of my church. I saw evangelism as a whole widening up of the gospel of Christ at work. Whether it built up congregations or not.
So you really saw that working with the United Farm Workers had an element of evangelism in it.
Absolutely.
And how would you describe that form of evangelism?
It was sharing in identification with people of a lot of different religious backgrounds and different cultural backgrounds and different language backgrounds than I was in terms of common needs of humanity. Jesus is a message of carrying a cup of cold water, carrying food, carrying a sense that I am somebody, that I'm worthy. And when you share that fact with another person, the sense that you're both worthy, you see it worked out together in the examples that we had in farm work, issue after issue. Drawn together of people with a common goal, justice for those people, is evangelism. seen them as evangelism. I just, you know, kept having them use it. You know, I wouldn't make it any main thing because that's not, I don't want to reinforce people.
New stereotypes?
That I'm making a new stereotype of evangelism. Mm-hmm.
But the evangel was,
that's right, yeah,
was present there. Do you think of anything else that you would especially want me to know about the impact of the farm worker movement on the church and the church's facilitating that through things like the Florida Migrant Ministry?
Yeah, I think so. Our mistakes were as important as our right choices. And I regret the fact that we made so many mistakes in not being able to convey it as far as we could convey it to the churches. We didn't try ones that we thought were harder than we could, nuts to crack than we could crack, that they could have been, that many of them could have been cracked. That it could have been a more effective institution. We didn't just, you know, most of us just didn't have the time to do it, or we would have done it, but we all always chose the friendly way to do it. I can think of denominational leader after denominational leader that I wish I had spent more time with in Florida. So that if I think that if I had a chance to go back, I would spend a lot more time. It was open. It was wide open to do it. I just wanted to spend more time with people that were, you know, in the National Farm Worker Ministry and in the whole thing, there are those who had to be second class, be middle class people in a middle class church. And we weren't, that's what we were. We weren't the organizer of farm workers. We weren't farm workers. What we had to do was to work with the people that we knew and then get that message across. And I don't think we always chose to work with the people we could work with best. Sometimes we took them way out of spending more time working with farm workers, directly with farm workers. More time on the picket line probably than was where other people could have done it. We could have spent, those of us that were activists in the church could have spent it on working with the church. Individual congregations. One illustration comes to mind that I never thought would happen. If I had planned it, it could have happened easier. I was invited to end the service at one of the larger Catholic churches in Florida. When I got to the church, I discovered that the head honcho of the church had not been advised that I was going to be in the pulpit. I mean, in the speaking from the church. And he wasn't advised because the people, his assistant and the people within his congregation that were active, and they were very active in our support group, were afraid of him. And when it actually came time, the half hour or so before when I met with him to see what was going to happen, he was seemed to be very offended when I had intruded in his space. And it was homecoming, which is a big time at a college, at the big university church. When it came time for his sermon, that he had always prepared his best sermon for homecoming because he had place may absolutely failed. Turned his paper over and he said, "I talked to a man this morning that has a better sermon than I have. And let me preach the whole sermon. I mean, let me have the whole time." Which he was very proud of. People were in tears for him, the support group. But if I'd spent more time with him, it would have even been worth more. Mm-hmm. And I don't know how many people were like that. You could have compounded if you'd just gone ahead and done it. You would have lost, too, you know, in terms of, you went to preach for people, you didn't say what they wanted.
I really appreciate your spending all this time with me. I
hope it's been a little bit worthwhile.
Oh, it has.
I feel so
been.
Bad about you making such a long trip.
It has. It's been really interesting. The, was he...
He knew he was...
Did he really... He was really worried that he would not be able to handle the economic impact?
Yeah. His argument was that the market had him over its... over a barrel. And that he couldn't shift to meet the market. I always said, Ed, what are you worth? I don't see if that's any being. We did church after presbytery, and church after church that we'd be always, Ed, what are you worth? And I knew he was worth about $10 million or $100 million. I knew he had property worth more than that. Mm. So I walked over his property, all over his groves with him, ridden over his groves with him. I knew how much it was selling for. He'd get tears in his eyes. An unfair question. It's not an unfair question when we're talking about whether a person can afford to eat or not. And I'd win the debate. And I never did know why he didn't get a better answer for me. We're about three Presbyterian laymen that were really influential in the farmer scene. Finally, they started giving low blows to us, and then they really lost out when they started the low blows. They started circulating rumors and things. That just didn't work.
You turned other people off?
Yeah. They could win in a public meeting. You know, it was a public meeting to decide.
Why do you suppose he would get so emotional about having to pay a decent wage and have a contract with workers?
He really was a small-time man, been raised in a small, relatively poor family. And this was his one chance, and he had no concept how to handle that much money. He was doing all he could just to keep his books balanced and pay the people, and it was a new thing. It was great. He saw himself losing. Really, he saw himself selling out to Disney or somebody like that was buying up his property, and he believed in maintaining the small grower position. I really see what he was driving at all.
But you say that he really was a fairly big operation.
Yeah, but he didn't know that he was, you know.
Oh, in his mind, he was not a big operation.
Bigness was, you know. Until I would ask him what it was worth, and then he'd have to deal with that.
So it suited him in a way to maintain an idea of himself as a small,
absolutely,
struggling grower.
Absolutely. Mm-hmm. And I really feel like he felt that way. Mm-hmm. He was very gracious in almost everything he ever did. He worked at one point and gave me 300 acres of his land to develop a camp for a junior high camp in Florida. That was a real big contribution, you know. I was really sitting on him. Because this was the guy that he and his mother-in-law had worked to give me that big piece of property to develop a junior high camp. A whole farm, and then a lakefront, half of a lakefront, or maybe a mile and a half around the lakefront. Groves enough to keep it in business, to keep it operating. The Florida Senate eventually turned it down, unfortunately. Senate executive at the time had a piece of property down on in Prospero that he wanted for right at that time. I was chairman of the camp and conference site committee for the Senate. The Senate executive disagreed with me on it. He thought it ought to be the Dewey Decimal System had established a Lake Placid Club in Florida. It had been a big time operation. And this was the piece of property he wanted, which is what they got. I guess we maybe have had a farmer. I don't guess we had any national farmer ministry. That's like we had a number of meetings of the Florida Migrant Ministry there. Take on.
I went once to some place like in about 71.
Yeah, that was at Avon Park. That was the meeting that we. That was the meeting where we were going to announce at the National Farm Worker Ministry meeting that Koch had signed, that Coke had signed the contract, that Coke backed out of signing the contract, so we didn't know what to say. We did not hold a meeting. We were taking people out and just dash off us to pieces because they wouldn't sign the contract.
Was that why we went to all those places?
Yeah.
We had dinner with farm workers and all that stuff?
We didn't have any idea how to do it. It was empty. Coke delayed for about 6 weeks, the signing, after they had agreed on the signing date. Mm-hmm. Our meeting was like the 8th of December, and they had agreed with us on the signing date of the 5th or 6th, so that we could have it for the National Farm Worker Ministry. And their lawyers told them that they couldn't sign that thing.
Where was that meeting when we
start thinking about